Brittle Diamonds, Chapter 23, A Great British Institution, Saturday after Easter. The old Brotherton tea shop was busy this Saturday afternoon, a week after Easter. Run by Farmer Jeffrey's wife Sarah, it adjoined the pub, having once been the old coach house attached to the inn. The stalls, originally built to house carriage horses, were now cosy booths, each with a tea table covered in red and white checkered cloths and vases of spring flowers. The high wooden walls dividing the stalls had been lowered for greater sociability, but the original cobblestones remained, making rather precarious walking. Ladies who knew the place never came in heels. Most of those here today were regulars. Donning comfortable brogues in one compartment sat Florence Pendleton with her husband Timothy and daughter June sporting tennis shoes. In the next booth, Bob Olding, with Dodo in Churchill mules, shared a table with Lord and Lady William Wilsley, the latter wearing smart leather lace-up boots. All the stalls were filled with lively chattering and the clattering of chinaware that belongs to that great British institution, tea time. Across from the Oldings and Wilsleys sat Catherine and Tracy. The Hunts' closing meet had taken place outside the pub this morning. Almost all those here present had been riding to hounds. It had become a ritual to end the season in Brotherton's tea shop, and everyone knew that if Tracy wasn't at her post in The Horse Heads Out, she would be here sipping tea. Should anyone have had one last mishap on the hunt field and require any essential kit, they knew to find her here, willing to walk back to her store with a prospective customer. Today, Tracy leaned forward and whispered ferociously to Catherine, "Can you believe that bastard uncle of mine went and dragged two more so-called victims into the anti-Father Peter camp?" Her hand shook with rage as she lifted a dainty teacup painted with daffodils to her lips. "So far, everyone's been nice to me, but it won't last, Catherine, it won't." "It's really unfortunate, I know," Catherine said, putting down a scone smothered in clotted cream and strawberry jam. "It's going to be harder for Father Peter to sound credible about his innocence, isn't it?" They were forced to pause. Loud guffaws were bellowing from the Pendleton's booth, drowning all other conversation, and the girls caught something about "dear Dame Witherspoon looking such an idiot clutching her horse from under its neck." Tracy and Catherine forbore to look at the Pendleton family and waited for the noise to abate. "I wish the media would leave it alone," Tracy wailed. "It's so embarrassing to be related to that man. I'm always afraid of what he might do next." She was not given long to wonder. The front door burst open and Uncle Frank swaggered in, the worse for drink and accompanied by two men. Every guest in the room stopped talking and stared at the dishevelled men as they stumbled along the cobblestones to Tracy's table. Frank placed both dirty hands on the clean cloth and leaned forwards, exhaling whiskey-chased beer breath. His two friends stood behind, hands on hips. Frank's unshaven head turned to Tracy and he shouted loudly, "Here, Tracy, I hear your preggers!" Tracy recoiled in horror, and Catherine stared at the obnoxious man. "What are you talking about?" Tracy asked hoarsely. "What am I talking about? Oh, I know what I'm talking about, Trace. I got a phone call from a lady in London, says she knows you." "Keep your voice down," his niece hissed at him. Even the Pendletons hushed, and the whole tea house tuned in to the unfolding drama. Frank wagged an unsteady finger at his relative's face. "Ah, yes, she told me you was in a delicate state and I wasn't to upset you. Said you're carrying her children, I'm getting you all in a tiz by accusing her brother of sodomising me in the seminary all them years ago, on account of as I'm your uncle and she reckons you don't need the worry." Frank's grin, revealing poor dental work, bore down on Tracy's face. By now she was covering her ears and staring down at her half-eaten scone, but her uncle's meaning was becoming clear. "The name Josie Walgrove," he used a posh accent, "mean anything to you?" He leaned forward menacingly, enjoying his niece's expression of pure horror. "Oh, so you didn't know that Father Peter's the uncle of your child then? Well, How do you think or you feel about being related to that asshole? How much is she paying you to have a baby, eh? Tracy shrank into the corner of the booth and covered her face with trembling hands. Frank stood up to address the rest of the tea drinkers in a strong voice. His friends grinned. Do you good people know that Tracy is being paid as a surrogate mum to your precious priest's sister and her husband? I wonder what the Catholic Church will make of that then. Catherine, watching her friend huddled in humiliation, could stand it no more and stood up. Frank Nonnock, you and your friends are not welcome here. Please leave. Frank laughed, and his two henchmen with him. Feisty, aren't we? But don't worry, darling, we'll be on our way. Just wanted to inform the public of what's going on. After all, I know how much you lot love good, juicy gossip. Catherine sat back down as Frank and company left the tea shop with a crash of the door. Across from her, Tracy cradled her head in trembling hands, stiff fingers dragging through thick red hair. The others in the shop gradually resumed their conversations, but the noise level was subdued, as if all were waiting for Tracy to leave so they could talk about her. The news had upset everyone. Tracy lifted her head. "You hear that?" she asked. "What do you mean?" Catherine asked back, although she understood the question perfectly well. "People are loin to talk about it, about me. Do you still have the courage to be seen with me? I have to get out of here." Her voice was a low hiss. Catherine kept her voice low too. "Tracy, of course I'm not ashamed to be seen with you, but I'll bet your uncle is waiting for you outside. Give him a few minutes to get bored and I'll come out with you." Her friend nodded, and in 5 minutes they left the shop together, Catherine hurriedly paying the bill at the front desk. The coast was clear when they stepped out into the crisp sunlight. Catherine resolutely took her friend's arm and led her to Horseheads Out. Tracy gave Catherine the key. She was unable to insert it into the keyhole herself. Her hands shook too much. Tracy took up her familiar post behind the counter. She tore off her bulky black coat and let it drop to the floor. Catherine leaned across the counter with a deliberately gentle expression on her face. "Tracy," she began. "It's no use," Tracy howled. "My business is ruined now, thanks to Uncle Frank. And to think I let that man stay with me when he first came to Strawford. This is how he repays me. I only did all this to save my business, and now look." Catherine leaned across the counter and stroked her friend on the arm. "Tracy, be careful, or you'll have a miscarriage." "I hope I do," came the reply. "I bloody well hope I do."
"You don't mean that, Tracy. You know you don't. You love those babies and you've got to look after them. Forget about Uncle Frank. He's not worth your time."
Over the next 10 minutes, Catherine used all the arguments she could muster to persuade Tracy that her uncle was a good-for-nothing who didn't deserve the attention he was getting and would soon sink into oblivion. It was an uphill battle, but every now and then the weeping Tracy would peer up from her folded arms and show she was listening and taking some comfort from her friend's words. There was a determined rat-a-tat-tat on the front door window, and both girls saw Dodo outside. Grateful for a change of focus, Catherine rose to let her in. As Dodo entered, Catherine asked, "How's everyone taking the news?" Dodo ran a nervous hand through her silver hair, absent-mindedly pushing it up at the side to give it more volume. She kept her voice low so Tracy couldn't hear.
"Well, just shock at the moment, dear. But you know Florence never slow on the uptake. She always knew Tracy was up to something as soon as she saw her smooth skin and her weight increase." She lowered her voice further. "And of course she announced the Catholic Church is dead against surrogacy, and quite right too. What was the poor girl thinking? Did she really need the money that much?"
"I'll tell you later, Dodo, but in a word, yes." They were nearing the counter now, and Dodie walked behind Tracy, who was sobbing with her head on her arms. She rubbed the unfortunate girl's back.
"Well, love, this wasn't the best answer to your problems, but now you're in this mess, let me help you out of it alive, eh?"
Before she could begin administering hope and comfort, Florence Pendleton stormed into the shop, shouting,
"Tracy Nonnock, you're an utter disgrace!"
Tracy looked up miserably.
No one will ever come to your shop any more. You never had a decent selection anyway. Oh, and you can cancel that order for Mr. Mystique, she added imperiously. I am absolutely speechless, and I'm sure I speak for the whole village when I say how disgusted we are by your behaviour.
Dodo straightened her small frame.
And I'm just as sure, Florence Pendleton, that you don't speak for the whole village.
Then Dorothy and Catherine, with a mean glance, you will find yourselves very much alone if you persist in sheltering this harpy.
Very Christian of you, I'm sure, Dodo replied.
You're forgetting. My Timothy is on the Child Protection Management team. You'll find out what's Christian and what's not when he completes his report on that so-called priest.
With a theatrically dismissive wave of her hand, the speechless lady exited the shop. By now, Tracy was quivering with shock, eyes staring straight ahead and complexion ashen. Catherine picked up her friend's coat from the floor and placed it round Tracy's shoulders, more afraid than ever that the mother-to-be might miscarry her twins.
"Why don't you come and stay with me tonight?" she asked. "I don't think you should be alone, and I also don't want your uncle to know where you are so he can come bothering you."
Dodo said, with an approving wink to Catherine,
"What a splendid idea! And there's someone I need to visit as well."